Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, our second hour is underway. 106.7 The Fan. We're with you until 2 each and every day. Chad Dukes versus the world at that time. Rick on Twitter, I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
I'm at Funny Danny.
Hit me up and said he just called his ticket rep and says the Nats are allowing exchanges later today, even though their policy is generally a 72 hours, but because they built the game in within the 72 hours, 2 days later for the makeup on Wednesday.
They are going to allow it.
Sounds like at least his rep tells him that they are allowing exchanges.
That's good.
Could be some good news for Nats fans. What'd you eat for dinner last night?
Monster pasta is what we call it in the house. It's edamame pasta, Grant. Now, you're gonna have questions. How do they make it into a pasta?
I've got a couple.
How does it taste? On the spectrum of non-pasta pasta, it's pretty good.
20-80 scouting scale.
In life? Or just on things that we're allowed to eat?
No, on pasta.
30.
30 pasta. Let's go life. All things in life.
30.
Okay. Let's go things we're allowed to eat.
60.
Is it 60?
Yeah.
Should I try it?
100% you should. 100%. Get the fettuccine if you can find
it. If I was at your house and I ate this,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know it was at a mama, and I thought you just said, hey, we're having pasta tonight, and you served me this dish.
You would know because it's green. There's telltale signs that it ain't your regular pasta.
Fettuccine green?
Yeah.
They're both green?
Yeah, it's all green. That's why we call it monster pasta in the house.
Okay.
It's tough to get over. I'm telling you, it doesn't look good out of the bag either. The point is, I'm so desperate for things that we're allowed to eat that taste at least kind of good that I'm now on this stuff.
So last night I had a burger.
How's your burger?
Looks good. Eat some more.
We'll tell you.
I had a burger without a bun on lettuce. There was some onions, some mushrooms involved. It was from the good people at Black's in Bethesda.
Oh, they're the best, Jerry.
Really
the best.
Like that. So it was delicious. It was healthy. It crushed. I think both of us last night had very successful meals in terms of quality, enjoyment, and health, sounds like.
I think, for me personally, I can speak for me, and I think, dare I speak for you for a moment, I think we both felt like we needed to get back on track. We have some backsliding here in recent past. And by the way, now you got me on something. I get very bothered, and there's something I don't understand about the world. This is the English language now I'm talking about. The phrase, we want to get him untracked, sounds like a disaster for me.
Yeah.
That sounds like the worst thing you'd want, for someone to be off the track. Now we're off the track, so the train's broken. Now there's a disaster. Now their Amtrak's calling in their investigators. Get him untracked. I want to be on track, thank you. I'd like to get to where I'm going. What don't I know about that expression? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. I think it's misused, to be honest. Untracked means not previously explored or traversed as an adjective. Also,
yeah, that's not what we're talking about there. That's Indiana Jones.
That is. Not marked by skis, vehicles, or footprints. That's also not what we're talking
about. Right, not that, yeah.
I've certainly heard the phrase, I'm with you. It seems like you're derailing something.
Like, let's say Clay Thompson starts 0 for his first six, and they go, they got to get Clay untracked. And I'm like, what?
I don't use it that way.
I would never use it that way.
I use on track.
Of course you do.
Or I would use a different phrase.
Let's get back on track.
I'm going to say, let's get him going.
Of course. You don't even want to get into the realm of tracks. I respect that.
There's certain things, though, that make no sense that just have become. I probably should ask more questions about how we got here. My one fascination with language is how we get some of the cliches that we have, like where they came from. Like, I'm always wondering, how did that start? And then I'll look it up.
Like, who's the first guy?
Not even like who used it, but like sometimes, like, what does it actually mean? And what is the original meaning of that phrase? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of them are obvious, tough nut to crack, things like that. But then there's certain things where you're like, what does that even mean? Where did that come from? And I will look it up. And there's a normally these origin stories. Some of them are entertaining. Most of them are terrible.
So, but they're also somebody that get so misused because people either have misheard them over the time. So the expression "a tough row to hoe" has turned into a tough road to hoe, yes, or a tough hoe to row. And people are just saying different things.
I don't know that anyone says tough hoe to row.
Well, I'm saying people screw it up, whatever, okay, whatever their screw up
is. So they're
just
misspeaking.
They're misspeaking, or they don't know what it actually is. It's basically, this is a really difficult track of land to deal with.
Remember
that's really hard.
Botch cliche guy who used to call in all the time? And he would say, it's the a book, book of worms. And they would like just ruin things. Another one that always got me was, it's not rocket scientist.
It's not rocket scientist. Well, or yes, you don't have to be a rocket science.
You're right. You don't have to be a rocket
science. You don't have
science
to be the... Speaking of that, have you watched? You've been watching Chernobyl, haven't you?
I watched all but the last couple. I told you it's killer. I love it. I haven't seen the end of it yet.
I am four eps in. It is not an easy watch, as everyone has said. It is great.
I'm looking forward to the Danny Ruye show review months after we've been talking about a show sometime in a few weeks.
Well, episode 5 just came out this past Sunday, right?
It's been out for a while. Sundays ago, maybe 3.
Multiple Sundays.
Yeah.
The Soviet Union doesn't come out looking real good in this one, by the way, in that show.
They do not.
They're not cast in a favorable light.
Definitely a good worth your time watch, though.
It's really well done.
It's one of those things like HBO does certain things exceptionally.
That's their thing.
That's the lane. Bill Belichick's the best coach in football. We know that much. If you're putting together a list of the best coaches in football, who's second? Non-Bill Belichick division, who gets the next nod? The blog that I like from USA Today Sports for the Win did this yesterday. They had tiers that they used for the coaches. So they had 3 top-tier coaches, Belichick, and then Andy Reid and Sean Payton with the Chiefs and the Saints. Couple of guys, brilliant offensive minds, great acumen designing plays. They actually put Reid, Kansas City, over Payton, New Orleans, and their argument for Andy Reid was that while it was difficult to separate the two, and obviously Sean Payton has won a Super Bowl, Andy Reid has not. The argument was that Reid has done more with less at quarterback. Basically, he's done what he's done as an offensive coach without a Hall of Famer. Obviously, Donovan McNabb was pretty good, but was not that. Drew Brees has been Sean Payton's guy all along in New Orleans, so they're taking a little bit of credit away from Payton because of the QB. We don't necessarily do that with Belichick. I guess some people try to. Most people know better than that. But that's the top 3 in their Hall of Fame bracket. Would you put anyone else in a bracket of Hall of Fame head coaches as, quote-unquote, the best in our game?
It's early, but that's the track that Sean McVay's on.
Yeah, but I'm with
honestly,
you.
It's too early
to say that. He hasn't done enough. 2 years in the league doesn't get you on the Peyton Reed, Belichick level. He could certainly – he's driving a road that could end there, mm-hmm, for sure.
This might get shouted down, but I think Pete Carroll belongs in that group.
Really?
People think that he's goofy and they kind of make fun. That group – doesn't fall off despite constant injuries, despite loss of talent. They just will either struggle to finish 9-7 or they'll win 11, 12, 13 games. They kind of retool. He's got a system. He's got a group. They find guys that nobody else finds in rounds 4, 5, 6 that play that way, and they've got a way that they do it. And the way that they do it keeps them competitive all the time.
I get the love for Carroll. They, by the way, have won 9 or more games in 7 straight seasons now. And in fact, with Pete Carroll at the controls for, I believe, 9 years at this point, they have averaged right around 10 wins. What he did last year might have been his best coaching job. A lot of people said, oh, they're about to fall off. This is the beginning of a new phase for the mm-hmm Seahawks. He was in trouble, supposedly. They're coming off a 9-7 season where they missed the playoffs. They lost a lot of pieces on defense. They went 10-6. That was a great coaching job by him. I put him in the McVay category of the next group of the best.
Mm-hmm.
The category, the tier that they used in this piece was winning wherever they go. So guys, you just plug them in that make a team a lot better. They put Doug Peterson of the Eagles and Mike Zimmer of the Vikings in that category as basically coaches 4 through 7 in the NFL. That's aggressive for Mike Zimmer for me. It's a little bit aggressive probably for Doug Peterson. There are guys like John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, who have accomplished more than he has. But to me, Carroll's in that conversation. He's a top 5 coach in football. I would not put him with the Hall of Famers. I would probably list him fourth or fifth, depending on where you put McVay. Him and McVay are going to be debated between for right outside of the big three.
I think Frank Reich is on his way. I'm a huge fan of, but again, it's very early.
He's good.
For Zimmer, we've seen this before. We've seen the Marty Schottenheimer style before, right? Where I think there's a ceiling to it. You're going to win some games. You're going to be there. You're going to be tough, competitive, smash mouth, yada, yada, yada. Is that an elite guy that's willing to completely change something over? I mean, think of what Andy Reid has done. He's reinvented himself 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different times in terms of what they do in offense and things that he's adopted, et cetera. What the offense that he ran in mid-2000s Philadelphia almost bears no resemblance to what they did last year, for example, in Kansas City. All very effective.
If we'd had this conversation 1 year ago, I'd have been a lot higher on Zimmer. I thought this year he again showed some major blemishes. Namely, he hired an offensive coordinator mm-hmm. who's a pass-first guy, tried to make him run the ball all the time, and then blew him out after a few weeks. What is that?
Yeah.
They have gone, under Zimmer, 7 wins, then 11 wins, 8 wins, then 13 wins, then 8 wins. So they're on this seesaw where they go up mm-hmm. and they go down. That's not necessarily the sign of great coaching to me. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's bad by any means. I don't think he's one of the best coaches in football. They've got him listed 7th. That's rich, as far as I'm concerned. Let's get to the calls next. Would love to get a couple of thoughts from you guys on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. And let's localize this thing, too. First, who's the best coach in football, non-Bill Belichick? Second, where would you put Jay Gruden on a coaching list right now? We'll tell you where he came in on the For the Win piece next on G&D.
Spend your summer at the St. James, the newest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. Not just the gym, you guys. St. James is an entire experience. There's something for everyone. If you're like me, you got kids, right? It is really hard to find time in the day to work out, to do everything you need to do with your kids. Well, St. James has an excellent, top-of-the-line babysitting service. That's right. So you drop them off right there, right down the hall from where you are, get your workout in, pick them up, you roll. There's also plenty of activities for kids if they're even a little bit older, right? A little bit beyond the babysitter level. Expert coaches. My son's learning how to swim, for example, can do that right there in the Olympic size pool. Lessons are available. State of the art indoor venues for more than 20 sports. They got 2 regulation size ice rinks, a turf field house, gymnastics center, even that Olympic sized pool I referenced. So you can get everything done there. You can get your workout out. You can hit some golf balls. You can hit the old baseball, get the rusty gate that is my swing going if I want to. You can climb a wall. There's a million things and one to do. Take care of yourself at the St. James. With so much under one roof, St. James is truly one of a kind. Join today and get 4 personal training sessions for free. That's right. Visit the stjames.co to learn more. That's the stjames.co. St. James, welcome to your best.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks as always for listening to our show. It means a lot. Sean Doolittle is a regular. He's with us every Tuesday at 11:45. Looking forward to talking to Do coming up in about 25 minutes. 12:55, your chance to win Nats tickets. Who's the best coach in football not named Bill Belichick? My answer, Sean Payton.
I will take
Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints.
That's my answer.
I love Andy Reid. I think very highly of Andy Reid, but I think Sean Payton does a lot of the things that I like. The way he throws the ball around, he involves fast, quick, speedy running backs in the passing game. I think his offense is portable. I think it would work with a lot of guys. It happens to have helped make Drew Brees great, and Brees has made Peyton better. But I think if a year from now, Brees moves on and retires, either by way of someone taking over in New Orleans or him leaving and going elsewhere, I think Sean Payton could win a Super Bowl somewhere else. I think he's that good.
Their rushing offenses are just way better than people realize, and they have been for some time. He runs the ball. He's got this reputation as his throw first, throw second, throw third guy. That's not true. They run the ball very effectively and have when his teams have been good.
I think the difference is, and maybe where people don't notice or understand it, they throw to set up the run in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
Like they come out, their running stats, if you take their runs when they're up and putting games away, essentially, out of the equation, they don't run it as much as their numbers make you think they do. They basically throw to get big leads, and then they're really good all the time with double-digit wins, and that helps. But it doesn't change the fact that he has no problem calling running plays. None. And if it's working, by the way, there's like a game against the Redskins a couple years ago where early on they just pounded the football. I mean, he will do what works.
Yes, and I love him so much. The thing that everyone will point to, it's Drew Brees and that's it. Well, they've had a number one option for Drew Brees that's changed every couple of years. Now it's Michael Thomas, but before it was Jimmy Graham. Before that, it was Marcus Colston. Before that, it was someone you never even thought of. Their second, third, fourth options are Jag nobodies. They're guys that off the street. They're just people that they plug in that, and it doesn't matter. The offense continues to hum. They're always good on offense. Now, where they've been bad when New Orleans hasn't done well over these, not these last couple years, they've been really good, but for 3 years in a row, they were 7-9. I'm sure it's because Drew Brees forgot how to win, though, or whatever. But it's been defensively, they've been a disaster. That's not Sean Payton's area of expertise. It's been bad personnel choices, bad contracts, Gillette, Jr., and a bunch of other things that haven't gone right for them. I love Sean Payton.
Let's go to Larry in Bowie. Hello, Larry.
Hey, G&D. How y'all doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Really good, thanks.
Hey, man. Besides Belichick, I'm fine with Payton being there, but Andy Reid being there, he's never won anything. You guys keep talking about, oh, his offense this, his offense that. Well, it sounds like he's the best offensive coordinator to be. I'm taking Pete Carroll over him. I'm taking Mike Tomlin over him. I'm taking Philadelphia's coach over him because they've been there, they've done that.
Your phone cut out on.
Oh, that was it. They have been there and done that.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Reid saying he hasn't won anything is just, it's not correct. I mean, since 2015 in Kansas City, he's won 11, 12, 10, and 12 games, four double-digit win seasons. Five of the last 6 years, he's won double-digit games. Before that in Philadelphia, he had won 11 and 10 games back-to-back in 09 and 10. There was a stretch from 2000 to 2004 when they made the NFC title game almost every year, where they won 11, 11, 12, 12, and 13 games.
So Donovan McNabb being out of shape away from a Super Bowl championship, too.
So you're looking at 13 of his 20 seasons where his teams have won at least 10 games. There's another two in there where they won 9 games, so 15 out of 20. They've been over 500 75% of the time. That's a pretty good track record. Now, if it's as simple as winning a Super Bowl or you're not that good, which it sounds like is your definition, then he's not that good. I'd point to the fact that it's hard to win a Super Bowl. I'd like a guy that gets me close as often as possible. Barry Trotz had never won a cup before a couple seasons ago. He was kind of the Andy Reid of hockey. I still think that guy was a Hall of Famer before he won his cup. It cemented his legacy, but to me, you don't need that to be viewed as an elite coach.
Four seasons out of 20 as a head coach in two different spots where he won less than nine games. Excuse me, less than eight games. That's pretty amazing.
Right, four sub-500
seasons.
Yeah,
it's where you bottom out. And then if you want to go beyond that.
That's a great stat. Let's go to Wayne and Bowie. We're playing in Bowie today where the Bay Sox take the field. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing? I really enjoy your show, man. You guys are the best.
Party on, Wayne. Thank you.
Look, I know the guy's been coaching 2 years, but to me, he's going to be, when it's all said and done, one of the best coaches in the NFL, and that's McVay. Now, you asked me where I put Jay Gruden. I don't put him nowhere. He hadn't done anything. Yeah, his time management stinks, everything. But I put Tomlin, like the last guy said, the coach of Philadelphia. Hell, I even put Shanahan's son, Kyle Shanahan, out in San Francisco. All those guys ahead of Jay Gruden.
Well, look, I'm a Kyle Shanahan guy through and through, okay? But if you're telling me Jay Gruden, who's won a division championship, hasn't done anything, what has Kyle Shanahan done? I'm just using your own terminology.
They've lost a bunch.
Kyle Shanahan has been a head coach for 2 years. They've gone 6-10 and 4-12. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, obviously. He's used backup quarterbacks. I can explain some of that away, 10-22 through two seasons. But in the same paragraph, you're saying Jay Gruden hasn't done anything. Kyle Shanahan's better. Jay Gruden's won a division title and made the playoffs. Jay Gruden's finished above 500 a couple of times. Kyle Shanahan has not done that. And now I will also tell you that's devil's advocate because I think Kyle Shanahan is a very good head coach.
But would I rather have Doug Peterson and Mike Tomlin and Bruce Arians and Frank Reich and Matt Nagy and Sean McDermott? Probably.
Yeah. Matt Nagy, by the way, who's listed 13th on this list, I think by the end of this year is the guy that could move up
his
the
stock
most.
Is on the arrow's pointing up there.
Maybe Reich's in that conversation as well with the Colts. They list Jay Gruden smack dab in the middle at 16th, which I think is fair. We've talked about Jay Gruden a lot as far as where he ranks. They've got him ahead of Ron Rivera. I'm not sure I buy that. They've got him ahead of Dan Quinn. I don't have a huge issue with that, but I think that's probably the last conversation you can have. I like him more than Jason Garrett, who they've got 19th. They've got John Gruden, his brother, 20th. John Gruden 1.0, better than Jay. 2.0, I got no reason to think he is going to be. Seems like he's stuck in a 20-year-ago time warp. I like Anthony Lynn of the Chargers way more than this list does.
Yeah,
he got 21st.
He got knocked low. That, Matt, to me, is the CEO, man. Give me that guy.
Yeah, I'm all about Anthony Lynn. He should be in the top 15 or 16. Matt Patricia, I'll take Gruden over him. Adam Gase, give me Gruden. Doug Marrone, give me Gruden. Mike Vrabel, give me Gruden. Some people like him because he's young and good-looking. I'm not that impressed by the Titans. Pat Shurmur, no real reason to be interested. And then there's a lot of first-time coaches at the bottom of the list. Where does Gruden come in? How do you rank the top coaches in football? Who's the guy that you think maybe gets overlooked? 800-636-1067 is the number. Sean Doolittle coming up in 18 minutes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Two possibilities with Eric Flowers, who they signed after he flunked out of New York and struggled in the AFC for a short time. The possibilities are that either he's their starting left tackle or left guard, or that he gets cut. Like, you don't want the same guy that might get cut to also potentially be your starter at left tackle if he stays, but somehow that's where we are.
I couldn't help but chuckle. So our buddy Les Carpenter does a great job, was reporting that the Redskins really think that Eric Flowers could turn into their starting guard. The same week that I believe it was John Keim had the report of veterans most likely to be cut by their teams, and John Keim chimed in with Eric Flowers.
And I think that's both are accurate.
I think both are true.
There's a real good chance he could get cut. There's also right now a real good chance he could start. In fact, if the season began in a month, he'd be your left tackle. And if he wasn't your left tackle, he might be your left guard. Let's get back to the phones and wrap up the calls. Where does Jay Gruden rank among the NFL's head coaches? There's a piece written here in For the Win about the head coaches in the NFL. The top of the board, they've got what they call three Hall of Famers. Bill Belichick, number one. Andy Reid, number two. Sean Payton, number three. You and I will both think that Peyton is the best outside of Belichick. But then we're wondering about the best of the rest, where that next tier for them is Pete Carroll, Sean McVay, Doug Peterson, Mike Zimmer. I think I would put Mike Tomlin in that conversation.
I know Tomlin's now fallen out of favor for some people. I love that guy.
Yeah, Steelers fans are annoyed by him.
Yep.
I think it's just the same message, kind of the same polarizing personality for years. It's like a relationship where maybe you don't know what you have, or you're just... it's not even a negative thing. Maybe it's just time to go in different directions and someone else would appreciate them more. That guy can coach football, though. That team every year seems to be on the brink of going on some type of tailspin, and next thing you know, they're playing an important Week 17 game. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's going on?
Andre.
I'm doing well. I would say I would have to go with the gentleman from Kansas City. For some reason, his name escapes my head right now. Andy Reid. You know, and I would say that because, you know, Tomlin, Belichick, Peyton, they all have in common the same thing. Yeah, they won championships, but in the same city at the same quarterback. Andy Reid, yes, he hasn't won the championship, but he's done it in multiple cities with multiple quarterbacks. If I had to start a team right now without knowing who my quarterback would be, I would go with Andy Reid, period, end of story, because his system will work. He'll find a way to win.
He is adaptable. You know, he has
That's
done
what
it
I love so much about him.
Just a bunch of ways. There's something really admirable about that. We have not had to see Sean Payton get creative or do anything where what I like to call gets cute. But look at some of the exotic formations and packages he uses with Taysom Hill, their backup quarterback, kind of, who's also their return man, who's also a receiver.
Special teams gunner.
Exactly.
Everything.
He does a bunch of stuff, and they incorporate him without overdoing it. They're not taking Breeze off the field all the time to do wacky wildcat stuff. It's kind of the perfect balance of just big playability, enough to show a defense that you got something up your sleeve. Doesn't take away from your Hall of Fame passer. I think Peyton and Reid are both offensive savants. Guys like McVay, Kyle Shanahan, they've got a chance to be in that same ilk a bunch of years from now.
As you know, I'm a Warren Sharp disciple, and the statistical best bet is early down short passes. That's your best bet to get success in terms of first downs, drives, etc. The best way to get those are early down passes to running backs. They figured that out, talking about Andy Reid, Sean Payton, years ago. And the rest of the league is just now starting to catch up to it, until maybe this is not the most effective way. But all the designs, all the misdirections force people to be flat-footed to get the ball to, last year it was Kareem Hunt in space, Alvin Kamara in space, Mark Ingram in space. They figure out ways to do that to set up the entire playbook. If it's first and 10 and you're running the dang ball and it's second and 9, the whole world knows what you're doing next. If you throw an incomplete pass down the field on first and 10, the coaching, you know, sort of next stop on the coaching robot playbook to run, to set up a manageable third down. Everyone knows. Nobody knows what's going in down, out, down, out with those guys.
Let's go to George in Manassas on Grant and Danny. What's up, George? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener.
Appreciate you, dude.
Appreciate you.
All right, so my top five is based on how good their quarterback is. But Bill Belichick is number one because, you know, he's gone 11-5 without Brady, so it's not completely Brady. my number two, you know, I would start off by asking who's better, Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is better, which means Mike Tomlin will be number two. Two Super Bowl appearance, one Super Bowl win. If it wasn't for the Pats, he would have more. Number three, who's better, Wilson or Brees? And I would say Pete Carroll will be number three. You know, two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win. Number four will be Sean Payton, and number five will be Andy Reid.
I like the thought process there, by the way. Sort of the inverse sliding scale of, it's like the academic scale for college. Your SAT is good, your GPA can be lower, or vice versa. Meaning, if you got a great quarterback, it's a little bit easier. But if you got to work a little bit and you're still competitive, I like that thought, the way of thinking.
John's in Manassas on the Fan. John, we're talking head coaches in the league. Want to know what the top of your board looks like and where you rank Jay Gruden.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Top of my board, I agree with everything else you guys have been saying as far as the top tier, but I think you guys need to add Mike Tomlin in that top tier. He's gone, and this is as a Redskins fan, but he's gone 125-66-1 with a 65% winning percentage. The guy every year has had above 8 wins except for twice, which he finished 8-8. And he's got a Super Bowl ring and an AFC championship. As far as where I rank Jay Gruden, he's in the bottom 12 for me. Maybe 20, 21st. But I got to put at least, there's 15 to 20 guys that I could put ahead of him.
Yeah, they ranked him 16th. I always say he's kind of in the middle of the pack. So anywhere in that 16 to 20 range would probably do. And I think you could pick some nits here or there. The best argument for Gruden is under his watch, number one, he's had more success than any coach in the Dan Snyder tenure, perhaps. Mm-hmm. He certainly stayed and lasted longer. But also, he has not had what I like to call the bottoming out year, where you have a bunch of injuries. Next thing you know, it's 3-13, 4-12, and you get fired. It happened to Mike Shanahan, who was a multi-time Super Bowl champion. It happened to every coach other than Joe Gibbs who walked before him. In this tenure, in this regime, under this owner, he has been able to avoid that catastrophe.
You want your worst year to be your first year. Right, and that's what happened. Inheriting
it has been for him.
Probably, to me, the low point in Redskins history was when Shanahan left. That to me is as embarrassed and awful as it's ever been in the history of this franchise. They were 4-12. Since then, they haven't come close to that.
They also have to give him credit for the development of passers as well. Kirk Cousins, much better at the end of his career than when Gruden got here. Obviously, Sean McVay, I think, gets a lot of credit for that. But Colt McCoy's had more success here than anywhere else. Josh Johnson had more success here than he had previously last year. They've done a pretty good job with a bunch of QBs that have come in this building. Jacob in Maryland, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
After Bill Belichick, I would say Andy Reid. I know he doesn't have a ring. He's been very close a few times, but I look at player development. You know, he's always got like a top-end running back. He's also, I mean, guys like Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, and Donovan McNabb, he's always developed QBs to be great and potentially go to the big dance. With Gruden, I think he's ranked. 16 is pretty good. I don't think he has a fair leg to stand on with some of the GM issues and ownership. But I think he's ranked. But I want to say something. Everyone talks about Sean McVay up and coming, and he very well is. I think another name to watch is Anthony Lynn. I think he's a guy who can be really great at being a head coach for the Chargers.
I'm a Lynn guy. I'm a fan. I mean, I'm not sure exactly, you know, I don't know if he's play calling. I don't know exactly what he's doing. This is following from as far away as you could possibly be, the East Coast to him on the West Coast, knowing they're going 11-5 or 12-4 in a tough division. I get this leadership. That's what oozes from that guy. That is the guy that I feel very comfortable being in charge of my operation.
He's been the head coach for 2 years. They went 9-7 and 12-4. And that 9-7, I think they lost three games when they could have made field goals to win and didn't.
Yes.
The beginning of the season. He could easily be 24-8 or something like that through his first two seasons in the NFL. Instead, he is 21-12, but he's done a heck of a job with the Chargers. Just run into the Patriots in the playoffs. And sorry, but you're not going to beat them with your group. I don't care how good a coach you are. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Sean Doolittle is the closer of the Nationals. He joins us live for his weekly appointment on the show next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beltway Blitz at noon at 12:18. Take a good look at the Redskins' offensive line with the Trent Williams holdout ongoing. Right now on the Mattress Warehouse hotline, we find our pal Sean Doolittle, the closer of the Nationals, who, despite some of the questions we've been getting, is indeed still on the team. He has pitched just once since June 8th. That was 10 days ago. That was
many
a non-save
moons.
Situation where he threw an inning and punched out a pair. It's funny. I feel like we've had you on a bunch where we're talking about your arm about to fall off and how much you're throwing. And here you've thrown one time in about 10 days. This is the life of a closer, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I feel like you guys are definitely making sure that I'm going to get some work here over the rest of this homestand. But, yeah, they come in bunches. In this role, it's pretty common that it goes in waves. And I believe, like, right before this stretch, I had a pretty busy, 10 or 12-day stretch where I pitched in five of seven or six of eight or something like that. And then, you know, that's part of that's one of the challenges of pitching in this role.
Rain delays suck so much for everybody. Like, nobody's happy, right? I mean, everyone's mad at everybody. I get the sense that you guys, knowing you have to come to work and there's like a great chance the game gets banged, but you have to wait around and just like playing staring contest games. What is going on with you guys, especially relievers, because you've got to hurry up and wait anyway at the ballpark, right, for hours before right. you might even have to work. What's it like for you as the closer of the Nationals to sit through a rain delay?
Yeah, yesterday was tough because it looked like we were, for a long time, like throughout the pregame, like we felt like we were going to get it in. And then I think it was like maybe what, like 6:40, they came and told us that we were in a delay. And at first you're like, that's, you know, that's around the time, like I start like an active warm up, like right around the beginning of the game that takes, you know, it takes like the first like three or four innings to get through. And it helps me, you know, loosen up when I have to start moving around in the sixth or seventh inning. So, you know, I was about to start that and they came and told everybody that we're in a delay. And, but you know, it's tough because in the beginning of a delay like that, you don't want to fully let your guard down because they're like, all right, they're going to have another meeting at 7:15 and then they're going to, you know, we'll see where we're at. And so you're like, all right, well, we might not be delayed that long. And then, you know, after that meeting, they're like, we're going to meet again at 7:45 and we'll have something for you then. So there were a lot of meetings last night and a lot of updates with, I guess not a lot of updating. And so, you know, everybody's different. I found a quiet spot in the corner of the weight room back there, and I was watching some of the College World Series. Some guys were watching the Yankees-Rays game. Some guys take an opportunity to watch, to do some homework, watch some film. But everybody's kind of, you still have your uniform on and that way when they say, hey, they're going to pull the tarp and we're going to start in the half an hour, guys can kick it into gear pretty quickly.
Sean Doolittle and Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Now we've been talking so much about this homestand and now it's kind of being ruined by Mother Nature here, but critical seven games in the division against the first and second place team in the East. For you guys to really officially get back into this thing, you've dug yourselves out of a little bit of a hole, but to actually gain some ground, you got to beat these teams in front of you. Is there any more urgency for you guys? If you fall behind, say, 1-0 in one of these games, does it feel different than if you fall behind 1-0 to the Brewers in a month? Because that would make it seem like you're not trying your hardest in every game, which isn't the case. But clearly, I mean, these games are worth a little bit more. That goes without saying.
Absolutely, these games are definitely worth a little bit more. This stretch of the schedule has been kind of on our radar for a little while. It felt like when we drew a line in the sand and started turning this thing around. You know, we knew that these were big games because you can. It's so hard when you're below, you know, when you're behind, you know, three teams that are ahead of you. There's only so much help that you're going to get, you know, just by winning games. Like, you know, you're only going to gain what, like a game or two in the standings over a couple weeks. You have those head-to-head matchups carry so much weight, and I don't think necessarily that, you know, like there's guys are going. We're going to actually play the games any differently, but there is a little bit more energy. You know, it's a division rival. They're big games. We've been playing really good baseball. We're excited to see kind of where we stack up against two of the best teams in the division. So it's hopefully if we can get these games in. Could be a fun rest of the week.
Sean Doolittle with us here on Grant and Danny. Weekly spot at 11:45 on Tuesdays. Patrick Corbin's kind of been going through it here, a little bit of a funk for him. Give me kind of the breakdown, because remember we were talking to you about it. We're like, hey, I didn't feel great, and I pored over film of myself for hours and hours and hours. Light bulb goes off, and you fix it, and you kind of turn the corner, right? How much of that is up to the player? How much of that is pitching coach? How much of that is... I remember Brandon Kintzler was like talking to Tanner Roark about like his toe placement last year on the rubber. I mean, how much of that is like peer to peer? Just give me kind of a breakdown.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is peer to peer. I think sometimes guys will be like, they'll tip off maybe the pitching coach or another player that they're close with. For us relievers, we have throwing partners that we play catch with, just about every day. And that guy gets to know your delivery, your mechanics, and everything, because you play catch for them before every game. So he almost becomes like another pitching coach for you. And sometimes you'll kind of tip him off and be like, man, like I didn't feel right. Like, did you see anything? Just to get kind of a fresh set of eyes on it. And I think the pitching coach, I think they kind of go through the film, after the game every night anyway. So they're kind of always looking for stuff as well. So it's kind of a group effort. In my case, I was very lucky that everybody that looked at it, they really saw the same thing, and there was a really good consensus. It's not always something that jumps out at you. Sometimes it takes a couple outings for there to be that consensus, for there to be something that people really agree on that definitely needs to be fixed. So I really don't know. I haven't really dove into it that much with him, but I do know that he has a lot of support in the clubhouse. There are people that are out there with him in the film room, going out early on his days between starts. There was kind of a contingent when he was throwing his side session last time that was in the bullpen with him. He's in good hands. Strauss and Max and Sanchi have been guys for a really, really long time. They know so much. They've been through so much that he's got a really good support system.
Who's your throwing partner?
Matt Grace.
Ah, a couple lefties sticking.
Just the ball not going straight.
The lefties, with the glasses. Yeah, one of us is trying to throw the ball as straight as possible and up in the zone, and the other one is just trying to sink it down through the bottom of the zone. So opposites attract.
Makes very much the perfect tandem. Sean Doolittle every Tuesday at 11:45 on Grant and Danny. Much appreciated. Thanks so much for the time, as always, and go get the Phillies when you're allowed to by Mother Nature.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
See
for
you,
having
man.
You bet. Rain in the forecast tonight, rain in the forecast tomorrow for the Nationals. We'll see if they can get one or maybe both of these games in. Let's get to our Beltway Blitz next. We will cover the Skins, the Nationals, among these teams in town you care the most about.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.